this last Sunday, amen, of the new year. Look at somebody telling, I made it another year. That's right. Go ahead, claim it. I know we got two more days, but just claim it. Amen. Amen. Made it another year. If you would turn with me to Genesis, the 32nd chapter, verses 22 through 30. I apologize for lateness of the hour. I ask that you would continue to keep Reverend Doctor in your prayers. She did have to go to the hospital on yesterday. I want to thank God that all the tests came back normal. Amen. And I'm just praying that God will continue to touch and take away any pain and discomfort that she's feeling. And with the leading, that she'll be home soon. Amen. Amen. Genesis, the 32nd chapter, verse 22. It says, that night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the sock of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." On this last Sunday of 2018, as we get ready to leave out of the year 2018 and head into a new year, 2019, I want to preach on this last Sunday from the sermon topic, "But Will You Wrestle With God?" Look at somebody, ask them, "But will you wrestle with God?" Somebody on the other side didn't get asked, so ask the person on the other side, "But will you wrestle with God?" 2019 is literally right around the corner, and as we leave this year, the year that we said was the year to occupy, we now find ourselves at the edge of a new year, a year that Pastor has deemed as the year of mountain-moving faith. Mountain-moving faith, not a regular kind of faith, but a faith that can reconstruct the landscape of a generationally cursed family. A faith that can transform the topography of habitually dysfunctional relationships. A faith that can reshape panoramic view of future indebtedness, and a faith, a mountain-moving faith that turns around the crescent plateau of unanswered promises. And that does not just happen. That kind of faith doesn't just happen because we want it to. But that kind of faith can only operate at a level that helps to move, shift, and alter whatever is currently in front of us. It is a different kind of faith. It is a moving faith. It is a faith that believes in miracles in the midst of madness. It is a faith that sees opportunity in the midst of obstacles. It is a faith. It is a faith that hears promises in the midst of current problems. Now, the only challenge with this kind of faith is that it will require mountain-moving struggles, mountain-moving battles, and mountain-moving fights, because you can't move a mountain with faith that can only move a molehill. You see, mountain-moving faith will require you to crest past what you've ever seen and push past where you've ever been. It will test you. It will test you. It will test you. And ways that you've never experienced, so that you can finally experience what you didn't even know was an option for your life. Mountain moving faith. It isn't really a faith about God, but it is really a faith about what are you willing to endure. Because if faith comes with much prayer, this faith comes with much discipline, much obedience. This faith, mountain moving faith, comes with much dedication. Can I tell you the truth? Can I be honest with y'all this morning? Mountain moving faith will cause you to wrestle with God. Wrestle with what God told you. It'll have you wrestling with what God said about you. It'll have you wrestling with what you thought God showed you. It will have you wrestling with where you believe God is taking you. It will make you wrestle. All of us want mountain moving faith, but only a few of us are willing to wrestle with God until he blesses us. Because wrestling with God is where the real work happens. Wrestling with God is where we spiritually mature. Wrestling with God is where God will break us down in order to make us finally grow up. Look at somebody, tell them, I need to grow up. And this text shows us what this wrestling match looks like. Jacob has been a fugitive on the run for most of his life. He had lost his relationship with his mother. He was never to see her again. And his only brother Esau was his worst enemy. His determination to get the birthright. Y'all know the story about Jacob, that he actually tricked his father into giving him what wasn't even his. And now it resulted in alienation from his brother Esau in a 20-year exile away from his family. Now he is, in this text, terrified. He's terrified at the thought of now meeting up with Esau, and he's understood and heard that Esau is advancing towards him with an army. And Jacob sends his family, and everything he owns ahead of him. He is alone. He is afraid, and he is unaware of what is awaiting him in his near future. I wonder if I'm talking to anybody this morning as you get ready to go into 2019, unaware, a little bit afraid, and feeling alone. And it is at his lowest point he is faced with wrestling God. He only has two options, fight or flight. He chooses to fight because I believe he was tired of running. And this encounter would actually be what would set him free. This encounter of wrestling with God would be the thing that would actually allow him to recognize that he had a faith that he had never seen before. This WWE match, Andre the Giant, Hulk Hogan, were all on the, they were on this on this ticket that they were underneath. This was the main show. And it is here that we realize that it not only shifted his life, but it also allowed the narrative of his story to be changed. So my question to all of us, as we are about to enter into a new year, is how bad do you want mountain moving faith? And are you willing to wrestle with God until you get it? In 2019, you will keep running from God, or will you stand flat-footed and wrestle with him until God blesses you? If this next year is going to be any different than previous years, there are wrestling matches that God has already put on his calendar with your name slammed on it. And the only question is, will you show up? And so here we are. We're in this text. I just want to talk to y'all, if you don't mind, three things I believe that we see in this text. The first thing is, if you are going to wrestle with God, if you are going to have a mountain moving faith, the first thing you have to understand is that God will meet you unexpectedly. Look at somebody, tell them, I didn't expect him to show up here. Doesn't say where the man came from. Doesn't even mention who the man was. Doesn't even say why the man showed up to wrestle with Jacob. But all verse 24 says is that, so Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. Can I tell you, one of the greatest challenges for us in 2019 is going to have to be how to learn to be thy yourself. How to learn to stop needing other things to distract you, to entertain you, so that you won't have to deal with the reality of where you are and who you've become. That's another story. Jacob, we realize in this text, does not initiate this wrestling match. It was definitely unexpected. This had to have been the worst time to find himself in a wrestling match. He was tired from being a fugitive. He had sent his family and his possessions across the river without him. I can only imagine that the primary reason that Jacob did not join them was because Jacob needed a break. He needed a chance to get his head together. He just needed to decompress. And instead of getting what he was searching for, he found himself in an all-night grawl. In the text, Jacob teaches all of us a valuable lesson. God will meet us in our anguish, in our fears, and in our uncertainty. But God may not meet us in the way we expect or even would want him to show up. You see, God tends to show up and make us wrestle with him at the most inopportune times for us. God, being our greatest ally, may show up looking at thirst like our worst adversary, inciting us to battle when we weren't even expecting a fight. Mountain-moving faith comes with a daunting but a necessary opportunity to wrestle not only against our flesh, but against the Almighty God himself. In other words, God will involuntarily ingratiate himself to an open invitation that will both irritate and infuriate us in order to initiate an introduction to our true inner selves. At the very time we need God to fix us, God will fight us. When we need him to heal us, God will hinder us. When we need God to bless us, God sometimes says, nah, I'm going to break us. When we need him to show us mercy, God sometimes says, no mercy, but I'm going to show you your mess. Not because he doesn't love us, but because he knows that sometimes we need to be agitated in order for God to get our full attention. Look at somebody telling him, he's got my attention. And God won't stop until we finally are still. He won't let up until we let him in. He won't retire until we respond. But if we would wrestle with God and not let go, God has to bless us. God has to honor our fight by increasing our faith. God has to deliver every chronic connected to the pain associated with dislocated hips and limbs. God has to relinquish hope just for the simple fact that we held on and wouldn't let go. In this next year, whenever God shows up in the ring of life, I dare you to wrestle with God and don't leave until he blesses you. Tell somebody, I'm going to stay right here until he blesses me. Second thing, not only will God meet us unexpectedly, but when we decide to wrestle with God in order to get a mountain-moving faith, the second thing we learn is that God will challenge our character. Yeah, that's why a lot of us don't want to wrestle with God, because we want to be who we are for as long as we can. In verse 27, it says, the man asked him, what is your name? Jacob, he answered. Seems like an innocent question, but the truth is the question had nothing to do with his name, but his character. It was the definition of the name behind the man that God needed Jacob, which meant deceiver, to now deal with. When we find Jacob in chapter 32, he was having major issues regarding his character. He manipulated his mother to help him conspire against his father. He tricked his father into giving him his brother's birthright by claiming to be who he was not, and he stole from his only brother what wasn't even his. And up until this chapter, he had been unwilling to face the consequences of poor decisions. So the question being asked to Jacob is really a question that is challenging his character and who he had now become. What's your name? Who do people say you are? How are you conceived? I'm just trying to help somebody understand that whenever we wrestle with God, God will make us deal with him face to face. God won't allow us to keep running from those things inside of us that have the potential to sabotage the blessings outside of us. Anything that can ruin our integrity, our reputations, and our name is the area that God will bring to the forefront and make us wrestle with it until we finally decide to confront it. Because how can we expect God to trust us to move mountains when God can't even trust our motives? How can we expect God to trust the assignment that he has on our life when he can't even trust our own agendas? God will make us face it, and he will make us face it while God is in our face. You see, it's different when we have to deal with the man or the woman in the mirror, knowing that God is looking in the mirror with us. Because God not only challenges us to change our character, but he does it by being present so that we won't keep lying to ourselves. God will now allow us to keep creating these false narratives that have us playing the main character of victim and blaming everybody else for our downfalls and our missteps and our problems. But God will ask us our name. God will make us take ownership of where we are while giving us the chance to change into something better. That's the hope of this story. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I love this card. I needed this card because not only will God challenge our character, but God, as we see in the text, he challenges Jacob's character so that he can change Jacob's name. God did not just show Jacob his open wounds, but he actually stayed there with Jacob to suture and stitch them up. God cut them to expose him, but watch this, in private. That's why I said, that's why he waited for his family to go away and all his strength. Ain't it a beautiful thing that God will do surgery on you so that you don't have to deal with the colored disgrace of what you've been hiding to everybody else? So God cut him so he could expose him in order to perform open heart surgery that would transform him. He didn't just need to see himself for who he was, but God had to wrestle with him so that he could show him who he could be. This is a year that God wants to show us who we can be, who we can become. But you can't become if you don't wrestle. And if you never wrestle, you won't become. Look at somebody, tell them, what's your name? What's the character flaw? What's the challenge? What's the thing you've been holding on to, the baggage you got in that nobody knows about, is why you keep blaming everybody else for why you end up where you are? The reality is it's the baggage you've been carrying that keeps taking you to the same kind of folks, to the same kind of places, doing the same kind of things, but now you're gonna cut everybody else. Nah, what's your name? Who do people say you are? Look at somebody telling them, I need a name change. That's what I need in 2019. I need to go from Jacob to Israel. I need a name change. I've been here too long. And this ain't just about 2018. This is about some of us been here since 2017. Some of us been dealing with the same stuff since 2010. Some of us got stuff that goes all the way back and we keep blaming it on our childhood. But at what point will you acknowledge that you got to deal with your own name? Where you are is because of where you put yourself. I'm sorry, I'm preaching a word that won't hook you this morning. I'm just trying to help all of us get to 2019 better than we leave out of 2018. Look at somebody, tell them, I need a name change. That's what I need. I need a name change. Last thing is this. Not only will God show up unexpectedly, not only will he challenge our character when we wrestle with God. The last thing is the most important thing. The last thing is God will stamp our story. Look at somebody, tell them, I need a stamp. That's what I need some more stamps. So, watch this. Help me. I'm going to take y'all a few verses earlier in this chapter. You get a chance to read verse 9. It says this in this same chapter. It says, then Jacob prayed, O God of my grandfather Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, O Lord, you told me, return to your own land, to your relatives, and you promised me, I will treat you kindly. Y'all still ain't getting it. I didn't either. So let's go to another verse. It's in the previous chapter to all of my scholars. Chapter 31, verse 42 says, if the God of my father, the God of Abraham, the father of Isaac, had not been with me, you would surely have sent me away empty-handed. Okay, all right. I know I still hadn't gotten it either. And that's why, creatures, y'all understand that when you read a chapter, you should read the chapter before and the chapter ahead. It just helps you to get context. And so I read chapter 33. Could God have not end? Verse 33, verse 20, it says, we see that after Jacob has wrestled, the Bible says, and he set up an altar there and called it God, the God of Israel. Y'all still ain't getting it. That's cool. I missed it too. I know it took me some time. I understand that. Let me try to help somebody. God is the God of his grandfather Abraham and the God of his father Isaac. But it wasn't until he wrestled with God for himself that God became the God of Israel. In other words, he finally became his God. Good God Almighty. Wrestling with God allows us to get to know God for who God is to us. Not to our great-grandparents, not to our grandparents, not to our ancestors, not to our mamas and our daddies, not by hearsay, not by rumor, but through our own experience that has our names on it. Whenever we come out of the wrestling match with God, God gives us another stamp to our story. Look at somebody, tell them, I've been stamped. Oh, y'all missing this, so let me help somebody. Y'all know I love to travel, Reverend Ross. You know it. I love to travel, and I don't just like to travel locally. I like to get out of the United States, and what I've learned over the years is that whenever you leave the country, to return back to where you came from, you have to go through their customs. They usually will ask you a lot of questions. Why were you here? How long did you stay? Where did you stay? They'll take a picture of you to verify that it matches up. The picture inside your passport. And at some point, they'll take out a stamp. And once you are cleared, they will stamp your passport. Why do they stamp it? They stamped it because it authenticates that you've been where you said you were. No one can question the validity of your trip because you have proof of the experience because the stamp has been put inside your passport. And sometimes the whole purpose of God initiating the wrestling matches that we are dealing with is so that he can stamp our stories. How can we testify about a God that we've never experienced for ourselves? Never found ourselves waiting for him to bless us. Never spent time with him alone in silence, anticipating to hear God's voice. Never sat in expectation of God to show up. Never wrestled with questions. Never wrestled with doubts, never wrestled with fears, but with wrestling comes our own testimonies. With wrestling comes evidence. With wrestling comes facts. With wrestling comes affirmation. I wrestle with God so that God can show me who I am, but more importantly, so God can show me where I'm going. See, this doesn't just show me where I've been. It gives me access to where I want to go. In 2019, there are some wrestling matches you're going to have to face, some stuff you're going to have to deal with, some stuff you know has been holding you back. Not the man, not Trump. Mm-mm. Not racism, not sexism, not classism. No, this is your stuff. And God's going to challenge you to deal with your stuff. So that 2019 can be a year that you can leave out and say, he changed my name. Who they said I was last year, that's not who I am. This year, he changed my name. They said I was fearful, but this year they're going to say I'm powerful. Last year they said I was insecure. This year they're going to say, you got yourself together. Last year they're going to talk about how you were going through all that you were going through, and this year they're going to say you are blessed and highly favored. Look at somebody telling this lot to be not this year. It's also going to be my hardest year. Because I'm going to have to wrestle to make it the year I wanted to be. Standing all over this church, look at somebody telling them I'm wrestling this next year. That's